Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
Have you ever been stuck, and I mean really stuck, where you absolutely cannot see another way out? Or maybe you feel that way right now, so stuck that whatever's going on in your life, that's the only way it could ever possibly be. Well, if so, this is the episode for you. Because today, Bill and I are going to talk about that really there is no choice. Until you become aware of a possibility, another choice. And at that point, that is the point in which you start to be able to heal when another choice becomes available and you get the ability to actually take it. So this is an interesting subject, right, Bill? Because the truth is, we often don't see another choice.
It was really kind of cool because you had come up with this today, and I was like, wow, that is like, it's truth, that we do not realize that we have another choice, and we spend our lives in, this is the only possibility, and this is how things are. This is reality. And then something happens. Typically it's, one of our exercises, our cogno movement exercises, where we allow another part of the brain to look, have access to this problem. And all of a sudden, another possibility emerges. And when that happens, it is like life changing. Yeah. And, we're reflecting here beforehand about, the birth of cogno movement. The very first cogno movement session really illustrates this 100%, that there was a guy who was literally stuck. Ultimately the story comes down to, he was at the age of getting close to retirement, and his retirement plan was to buy a trailer and move it out to like a homestead piece of land in the desert, like a real, like we like to laugh about, it's a whiskey tumbleweed type existence out there somewhere in the hotter than the Mojave existence.
Yeah, and there's a soundtrack that goes with it. It's you see the swinging doors, the old doors, yeah. The saloon doors swinging in the breeze. Yeah.
And this guy did the very first cognitive movement session, and his belly got hot. He was sweating, and then his heart started hurting, and then his head hurt, and the top of his head hurt. And then the issue, literally, like, he felt a sensation in his body, and then it was over. And months later, got to see him, and he had bought three properties, and they were positive cash flow, and he had turned part of his own property that he lived here in San Diego into a rental. He's making more money and paying off his mortgages, and they started a bee business, and that was making money, and they were paying off the mortgages, and so all this cash flow. The amazing thing is that shortly afterwards, he retires.
Yeah.
And now, we're pushing up on about a decade later, And he's like, I got more money I can spend every month. You know, from no options and, you know, very, very much poverty line to retired with all the money that he needs every month and following his whims. I mean, I'm getting videos from Europe on cruise ships, you know, the small, nice cruise ships. You know, they're just doing things and, you know, doing anything he darn well pleases, you know? It's amazing.
Well, you said something really important, and you talked about how, you know, first of all, his belly button hurt, then his throat, then his head. What that is the feeling moving through the body. I mean, and that's the point of this, trapped, stuck. You know, the suffering of that, most people think is a thought. It isn't. It's a feeling. And we all know it if we actually put our attention on it, that feeling of stuck, right? So during a cognitive movement session, and this was the first one that let us realize that when that feeling is then released, when the body's shown it, it's allowed to move through, then all of a sudden the body will let go of this singular focus, the thought of trapped, right? The thought of no choice. I have only one direction to go, and it's out to the desert, into the tumbleweeds, until very shortly after, a lot of times it's minutes or during the session when the world opens up. And then there becomes all of these choices. So what we recognized right away is that it really wasn't the mind keeping a person stuck at all. It's the feeling that the body has that then creates a thought around it. Oh, I feel trapped. I feel stuck. I have this sensation. So there must be no way out. Except for the door is right there, right? There's a door and a trap door and a window that you just can't see until all of a sudden that grip on your body lets go. And what's amazing is for most people, it's never just one way out. There's usually 35 ways out that become available. So there's a part of the brain that actually allows this. And it's right in the amygdala, the nervous system hub called the limbic system. And it's called the reticular activating part of that limbic system. It's right at the base of your skull that allows information in. Most people don't know this, that there's a part of your body limiting information. Well, that's exactly what's happening. It's limiting your ability to see the exits, right? The exits out of this specific problem.
So tell us about that, Liz. This is so interesting, this governor or filter or a choke point, a choke point of information. So tell us what that's doing and why is it doing that? That doesn't sound very productive. Why would it do that?
Well, it doesn't sound productive unless you have a lion on your butt. And so when you have a lion on your butt, or you're very, very stressed out, you're in fight or flight, this part of your limbic system limits the information you can take in so that you can focus on getting the heck out of the way of that lion. So what it does is it shuts down your periphery. It shuts down your healing. It shuts down your prefrontal cortex and focuses only on the parts of the body that can let you run fast enough or to get out of the way, get bigger, get smaller. So it's the function of fight or flight. And it's actually a really good thing because you don't want to be, you know, running out of the way of a lion or, you know, a car that you need to get out of the way of, or, you know, someone attacking you and all of a sudden be like, oh, hey, squirrel. Oh, flowers. Oh, because if you did, you'd never get out of the way of the lion. So it's a very important part of our bodies. Problem is that we live in fight or flight all the time these days. And then you have one particular big stressor, like, I don't know how I'm going to live. I think I'm not going to have enough money to retire. And that system goes into action, limiting what you can see. So in that way, it's not good. It's not helpful in this day and age for figuring out lifestyle problems, you know, marriage problems, kid problems. It's very useful when you're running away from a lion, though. So that's the thing that we realized with CogniMovement, is that having the body actually look at the problem through sensation. What's the sensation that is causing your body to shut down? Is it fear? Do I feel like there's a lion on my butt? Right? We all know that one. So your throat shuts down, your heart gets tight, your solar plexus gets tight. There's tension all over the body. When that is happening, you can guarantee that that reticular activating system is also tightened down. So what do we want to do? We want to show the body, hey, here's what you're doing. And then look for a pathway up through the body as well, right? Letting the physical body see, the logical mind see, you know, the area that can look at ideas and inspiration see. And then the body changes its mind. Oh, you mean there isn't a lion on our butt? Nope. Just some math you need to figure out, right? Nope. You know, just a choice you need to make, right? Then immediately it opens back up and you can see the world in a brand new way. So much so that it seems like reality shifts. We've had that experience so many times, right?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of bizarre because it does feel like reality has shifted, but your basic perception is allowing in new options, new possibilities. It's like going from, let's say, a little trickle of water, like a little floss stream of water to a fire hose. You're taking in, allowing through. I'm using an exaggerated example, but you're able to take in so many more possibilities. You can see a great example, you know, is Elon Musk. Elon Musk, you said something really important, and that this is fight or flight. Mm-hmm. This area basically pinches down or constricts the amount of data that comes through when we're in fight or flight. And Elon Musk, you know, he's not in fight or flight a lot. You see him in situations where it would drive anybody else nuts in fear, you know, from bankrupting a company to media tearing him apart to, I'm sure there's nonstop lawsuits that are coming at him, frivolous and sometimes probably not, but you know, there's all kinds of conflicts, but he just, no fear, just, you know, he's going to say it how he sees it. And he also sees a lot of possibilities and has the energy to actually act upon it. It's really just an exaggerated example of the guy who went from the trailer to now the cruise ship over there in the Mediterranean.
Yeah. And, you know, some people have this naturally. I don't know where Elon Musk learned it, but you're 100% right. If you watch him, when people are going hard at him, you see his body, he shifts his weight in his chair. He takes a big deep breath. He relaxes, he sits back and says, tell them to go F themselves. Like, he literally relaxes. You see the body change, instead of where most of us would, our shoulders would come up around our ears, our breath would get short, you know, our eyes would, the pupil of our eyes would narrow down, right? Everything constricting. He does the opposite. And it, you know, he's quite effective actually when he's in that, takes the person who's after him, pushing him to make a mistake, completely takes them off guard. You know, we're not saying Elon Musk is right, wrong, good, or bad. What we're saying is, he is good at getting his body to relax and get that reticular activating system open up, where he comes up with pretty amazing stuff, world-changing stuff. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, We'll talk about another type of person. The person who always has to give all the time, what you might call a doormat person, and how this applies to them. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. We're talking about the idea that there really is not a choice until you realize there is one. You don't have a choice. You can't make another choice until another option becomes available. And so I said that we would talk about another kind of a person you might consider an empath, a person who's always giving, always giving. So I had a person like this who couldn't stop giving to her own detriment, to the point where she was exhausted. She was broke. She resented the hell out of the people that she was helping all the time. And she just felt actually worthless, which is interesting, right?
Mm.
Giving to everyone.
Ironically.
Giving to everyone all the time, but felt absolutely worthless. And that if they weren't everyone's slave, then no one would have any use for them. So this is what she came in for, it for her Cogno movement session. We work Cogno movement. And all of a sudden, she was like, what am I doing? What do you mean, what are you doing? Why was I giving them everything? Why was I doing everything? These are all grown people. They can take care of themselves. Yeah, that's true. She says, you know what? I'm going to let them. Okay. Yeah, actually, I think I've been hindering people by doing everything for them. It's time for them to take care of herself. What was the difference? Her body felt different. Before, she had this sensation in her body of heavy, you know, shoulders rolled over, you know, posture was slouch, like trying to make herself smaller. By the end of this session, she kind of looked like a giant, like she'd grown 3 feet, right? And when all of a sudden, the idea came that, well, this isn't the right thing for me to be doing. It's not even good for them. Also, this value came back to her, this value for herself. You called it self-love earlier when we were talking. Yes, but also kind of a superpower. Just a recognition of, oh, well, I don't need to do any of those things. And you know what else? I can help when I want to. If I don't, no, thank you. No, I'm not going to do that anymore. So, you know, that's a real stereotype of a human that is constantly giving all the time, but they don't feel like they have a way out until their body feels differently about it. And then they have 1,000 ways out.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? You know, it all comes back down to the sensation in our body. physically. Yeah, I never understood this, how very powerful a sensation in our body is, much less that it had something to do with our opinion or the how far we will go in life. How far we'll go in life. You know, it is directly related to a problem that just won't go away. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to a sensation. There's a sensation somewhere in the body directly related to a problem that won't go away. And the opposite is ultimately the discovery is that the opposite is true. Once that sensation goes away, you literally don't feel the same anymore. And there, that means, oh, new possibilities. I don't feel the same. Like this one that you just discussed, that there was only one possibility, and that's help everybody.
Yeah.
And now, oh, I don't really have to do that. And actually, maybe not really in everybody's best interest.
Yeah, she believed it was her whole life mission, that that's what she was put on the earth to do, because it felt that way. And then all of a sudden, like, what the hell? No, it isn't. And this is interesting. So we don't change anything unless it's very uncomfortable. The more uncomfortable it is, the more likely we are to change. So it's, you know, giving everything away or not having money to retire are the same as a sticker in your shoe. Ever had one of those, a sticker, like a in your shoe?
Yeah.
Or something poking your foot? Now, your brain doesn't turn that off until you remove it, because it's like, hey, we have a problem. And immediately that pain starts to create some torsion and tension in your body. You start limping. You can't walk as quickly, right? You can't move through it. You can't move past it. The body keeps sending a signal and creating a bigger and bigger problem until you stop and get the sticker out of your shoe, right? The yeah. pokey thing. Our emotions are the same way. They're really just an indication, hey, something's not right. And you keep getting that feeling, only emotions, negative feelings that kind of drive us in the wrong direction, we don't clock them as pain. We clock them as the truth. I feel stuck. That is the truth. I am stuck. No, the truth is your body keeps sending a signal of discomfort to get you to do something different, right? To change. And when you have this emotion, this chronic emotion, guess what? The body starts to create torsion around it too. Pretty soon you've got a shoulder problem, a neck problem, a knee problem, a hip problem, a gallbladder problem, right? The body will keep making these micro torsions and tensions to get you to change something. But we're kind of numb to that. We don't realize it at all. So until it gets so uncomfortable, or until the option becomes available. So lots of times during a cognitive movement session, somebody will come in for, let's say, a problem with their spouse. And what emerges? The real problem, the problem with their mother, right? We have story after story of things like that. So a lot of times it's what's underneath, what you don't want to look at or refuse to shows up, but it ends up clearing up both problems at the same time.
Yeah, double whammy. Yeah, that is so common. So very common. Yeah. You know, it reminds me of the story, like the not having another choice. There was a guy who had a little bit of a drinking problem. According to his wife, you know, he would whack back a few bottles of red wine every night. Right about sunset, you know, pop the first bottle, and you know, after a few bottles, you know, things are getting a little wacky, you know, and then the fighting or God knows what, right? And it was not really for him a choice. You know, he would do it every night. He was very hardworking, very successful, you know, outside the home. But the choice, a choice emerged to no longer do that. It was not a choice. But he did a session in the cognitive movement session, and the realization was that the very first time he had red wine was when he was with his family of origin, and there was peace. There was a estrangement in that family, and that was kind of the rejoining of the family. Was he was given red wine at that time, and the food was cooking, and there was happiness, and the family was together. And so for him, there was an association of the families together, and everybody's happy, and there's red wine, you know. So he was trying to drink his way into harmony.
Yeah.
And he realized, oh my God, I'm trying to, you know, I've been trying to drink my way into harmony because of an experience. And that's basically, you know, all of that just went away.
Yeah. You were telling me a story earlier about a person, you know, that just could not find a job, that no job was going to work at all, period, no matter what somebody suggested.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This story, talk about, you know, not having any options until you do. This particular person was offered jobs by so many people, you know, start a company, come into the company I work for, do this, do that. And it was like across industries, many different industries, many different positions, you know, analytics, sales, consulting, you know, or even start businesses, you know. It was like you never heard about so many offers, you know, just all the time. You know, people love this particular person and just like, yeah. But everything was a no. Like, nah, that won't work. Nah, that's not for me. You don't understand. I can't do that. I can't. No. Everything was a no. And they had a different situation going on. And the different situation was some drugs. There were some drugs being taken. And the drugs were also no choice. I must do this every day. I must. And that came down to a feeling, the must was a feeling in the chest. And when that feeling went away, that in the chest, the must went away. Like I don't want or need or even think about that drug. And when that went away, all of a sudden, the job, like, is like, not only wanted to do a job, but wanted to do it better than anybody else.
And it was when he
loved it.
When they'd been suggested a number of times, right? That was stupid,
many,
ridiculous,
many
and never going to work. And then turns out to be the dream job.
The dream job. The dream, it was the dream job. And it had been offered many, many times. But it's just, it was wonderful, you know, but it illustrates that when the feeling goes away, the limiting feeling, then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, that works, you know, and a whole new life emerged. I mean, that person, their whole life is just absolutely bring you to tears. How beautiful it is. It is just so great, you know. So it's not one thing, you know, like we talked about finances, you know, drugs, or, you know, it could be anything, you know. Yeah. Your choice, a new choice becomes available as the feeling moves out and you get access to different parts of the brain.
I mean, you get locked in, and literally it's this part of the body that is trying to keep you focused on a particular outcome, getting your butt out of the way of the lion.
Yeah.
And preventing you from seeing all the options. But the truth is that when you feel that way, you really are locked in to that singular outcome. And until there becomes a shift in that system, something that allows that locked in to release, mm-hmm. you don't feel like you have a choice. One of my clients today was telling me how hurtful it has been when many of their care providers would say, you got to let it go. Let it go. Don't focus on it. Stop mm-hmm. thinking about it. And they felt really judged around it. You know, like, what do you mean, let it go? If I could let it go, why would I be here? What would I be mm-hmm. in your office? And they were saying that all of a sudden they had an experience of an opening experience where the body sort of let go of that sensation for a moment. And then a choice became available. And they were saying, I really did not feel that there was any choice. I couldn't find any choice until all of a sudden my body let go and I realized, okay, I see that option. And they were saying, even in that case, the option was now available to them, but not always right there where they could reach it. So they are learning for that option to become available and learning to choose. They still have the option to choose the old way or the new way. The new way feels better. But they were saying that if more providers understood this, that the body will not allow me to see another choice. To me, there isn't one. You can see 1,000 new choices for me. Obviously, there has always been another choice. I just couldn't reach it until I can. So I think that that is probably true for a lot of people, feeling judged about not being able to choose something else.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I know for me that this presented in my life, you know, before cognitive movement, it had presented itself. You know, I had a lot of fear about having a kid. You know, I had a phobia. I don't know what you want to call it, a phobia or something, but it was, I had a lot of stuck things around that. Fear around it from a lot of different perspectives. It wasn't one thing, it was a bunch of things. And it came down to one of these core feelings, which was when I was just a little boy, maybe, who knows, 8 years old, maybe, my mom, you know, we have 12 kids in our family. And my mom would give, you know, she was give birth at home, you know, and some of the later kids, she would do that. And I remember, you know, she's in another room in the house, you know, in labor, and, you know, pray for your mom. She's, you know, she might hemorrhage and die. You know, it's like, because she had a hemorrhage before or something like that. And, you know, like, and I'm like, well, you can imagine, you know, I can still remember going out, just leaving the house and walking and walking and walking for, you know, just, you know, eternity, and just, you know, feeling so nauseous and I confused,
yeah.
you know. And, you know, I didn't understand, you know, that there was eventually, as I grew older, I was like, heck no to having a kid, you know. And when I processed, and I was like, you know, because if my sisters had kids, you know, as I was grown up, if I entered the hospital, it would be like everybody was saying, oh my God, all the blood, he grab him, he's going to faint, you know, because I'm like, oh damn, you know, I'm going down, you know. And I would get nauseous around the, you know, the topic of having a kid.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, one of my siblings screaming at me, you know, that you'll never be happy unless you have a baby. You know, it's like, well, you know, I can't make any other choice. You know, it wasn't available, that there was no other choice available to me. It's not like I didn't want to, you know, it was like, I knew that other people have that, you know, but I couldn't. And anyway, bottom line is that when I was able to process, not only was I able to have a kid, but, you know, I was actually in the delivery room, and my wife says, you know, that you would think we were out having a cup of coffee, you know, because I was in the room and just like completely calm with everything there. And I was able to be there, you know. I couldn't even be in the hospital, you know, walk in the front door and, you know, I'm going down, you know? But the choice, right, that my point of using myself as an example is the choice became available. It was never available. And then it was available.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the unfathomable, that you, no way, no how, and there is no other choice too. It's just fine.
Yeah. Interesting, right? One minute it's impossible, and the next minute it's completely possible and easy. That's that feeling of reality changing, right? The world opens up when the body changes its mind about what is an emergency and what isn't an emergency. All right, let's take our next break. And when we come back, we'll talk about some ways that you can recognize the stuck feeling in your body and a few things that you can do to actually create a choice for yourself. So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
We're back, and we are talking about that feeling of not having a choice, that really trapped or stuck feeling. And I keep saying the word feeling because it really is a feeling. The feeling creates the thought, oh my God, I'm trapped. I have no way out. But it's a feeling that gets you stuck. So let's talk about some ways that a person can recognize that And it's actually quite easy. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. So if you have a thing that you're stuck in your life around, put your mind on it just for 30 seconds, but do it while you're letting your eyes kind of gaze at your own shirt. Let your eyes be open and look down at your own shirt. This connects your brain to your physical body, your kinesthetic body. For 30 seconds, just let yourself notice that problem in your life and start to become aware of where your body is active. Meaning, is there some discomfort in your body? Is there straight out pain? Is there an emotion? And if there's an emotion, where is it in your body? You're just looking for the sensation that creates this thought. So just take a big deep breath, breathe, and let yourself be aware with your eyes in that down position. Where is the feeling that I have around this? And I don't necessarily mean emotion. I mean physical sensation. Maybe it's your big left toe hurts, right? Maybe you have a cramp in your hand. You know, maybe you have an itch under your collarbone. Just notice. And then the next piece is, I want you to notice how familiar that is. How familiar is that particular sensation in your body? And now you have just seen the thing that is keeping you stuck. It's that feeling right there. So what is another really simple thing a person could add to that? What could they do next?
So the first part of this is just to recognize that there is a sensation and notice the sensation could be anywhere, and it could be in multiple places. Like I feel it down the center line of my body. So getting good at recognizing where it is and what it is. A lot of people are going to hear this and like, I don't feel anything. Okay, well, you take your time, and it could be a tension. It could be a buzzing. It could be a little feeling of nausea. It could be butterflies. It could be a tightness, a feeling of tightness somewhere.
That's a really common one. And oftentimes it's tension all over the body. So even just letting yourself be aware of general tightness or tension. So once you have that, once you're aware of the kind of the feeling and how familiar it is, that's the important part. So familiar. The next thing you can do, and it's very simple, is just take a big deep breath in through your nose, hold it. And when you take your out breath, literally let your whole body kind of drop. Like you're pulling your rubber band really tight, and then you let it go. So you're aware of the tension in the body, you're aware of the pain, and then just relax into it. Big deep breath in through the nose, and let the whole body relax. And notice if that sensation in your body changes even just a little. And then notice the quality of your thoughts around it. That one's really, really simple. But a person could maybe add a simple eye movement to that, couldn't they, Bill? To even change a little bit more?
So one of the ways to do this is extremely, one of the most basic cognomovement moves is to have a dual awareness. One awareness is that sensation that you just felt, and the other is your eyeballs. And what I mean by your eyeballs is you keep your head straight and level, and you rotate your eyes in a big circle as far as they'll possibly go, all the way around. You have your attention on that feeling, and allowing yourself to feel exactly like you do. You're not trying to change it. You just are feeling it. And you'll find that there's going to be a place. For me, it's like right here, my eyes start blinking right now. And that is, okay, that area where you're blinking or you feel a stretching kind of feeling, you park your eyes there and drive them, and then you'll continue on, allowing the sensation and allowing yourself to feel how you do. Tell yourself the same story that you've been telling yourself. All the characters in your play, all the reasons why not. You just keep rotating and feeling the sensation. You may, after several minutes, notice that the sensation may move a little bit, may change. It may get bigger. It may get smaller. It may disappear, and a new sensation somewhere else arises. It was in my belly button, but all of a sudden now I feel it in the back of my neck. That's weird.
Oh. So these are just some very simple ways that a person can begin that shift and change in the body. If you want more of this, if you try this out, and you get an inkling that you got some change, or you got some new ideas, or you got up and forgot about your problem altogether, you can come on to cognomovement.com/essentials and get our essentials program. It's actually a quite simple and brief program. There's a lot of little bits and nuggets in there, but it's not hard to do. We walk you through it. Ways to get yourself out of your own way, to get to a place where you have all of the options, and you can do it quickly, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, if you really need it. Get out of your own way and get a whole lot more ideas. It really is life-changing once you learn how to do this, because then you don't have to stay stuck for weeks or months or years. You can get that stuck feeling and maybe have it for 20 minutes before you recognize what it is. Then now you have a choice to do something about it quickly, get yourself out, and get yourself moving on. It really saves a ton of time. All right, everybody, we're out of time for this week's episode. We will see you again next time. Try this out between now and then. Send us a message on info@cognomovement.com if you try it. Let us know how it works. And thanks for being here, Bill McKenna.
Thank you, Liz.
And until next time, be safe and be well.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.